Okay, we're continuing in the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. In my heart, I will build a sanctuary. We're on, in the book, we're on page Yud Gimel, only a few pages into the book. On the left-hand page, it says Yud Gimel at the top. And on page Yud Gimel, we're smack in the middle of the page where it says Yud Aleph. Right in the middle there, it says Yud Aleph. And I believe that's where we are. Correct?
Yeah.
So, the point of the Sefer is to learn what the purpose of our life is. And we've quoted the Mesillas Yesharim and saying that the purpose of our life is to be complete human beings. And we achieve that by, as King David said, Kirvas Elohim Li Tov, nearness to God is the good that is for me. That is the good for me. Closeness to God, that is the ultimate pleasure a person can have. And the author also said this can be for anybody. You don't have to be the Chafetz Chaim to crave for this and to enjoy this, but everybody is capable of enjoying it in this way. And the Rebbe is going to say we have to be very clear in our minds that this is what we want. And once we understand that this is what all of Judaism revolves around, anything you do in life, you have to ask yourself the question, is this bringing me close to God or not? We don't, when we ask shilas to a rabbi, it's not merely a question, am I allowed to do it, am I not? When the rabbi answers you questions, it's not he just looks in the book and sees what the law is. You can speak to a lawyer and say, am I allowed to do this? I'm opening up a business. Am I allowed to do this? The lawyer will look at the tax law, he'll look at the business law, he'll say it's allowed or not. But that's only a convention that was contrived by human beings to control you. So you have to know what the law is. That's not what God's Torah is about. It's not a bunch of laws to control you. As we'll see in a minute what it's all about. But the point is, does this, the words of the Torah bring you close to Hashem? And the mitzvahs bring you close to Hashem. And therefore, when the rabbi is going to answer you a question, it's not merely what's the law, but does this bring you closer to Hashem? Or does this action that you're thinking of taking take you further away from Hashem? And that's really the focus. And therefore, let's continue now on Yud Aleph. Once this is clear to us, Lifnei Shibirarnu Mahi Chovas Ha'adam B'Olam V'Tachliso. So, before we explain what is the goal of man in this world, Higdamnu V'Kasavnu, we prefaced and wrote, Shekasher Yavur La'adam Mahi Chavas V'Tachliso Olav Liskor Tachliso L'Archal Yom. We said that when it becomes clear to a person what his obligation and what his goal is in life, he has to remember that all day long. And we said, Lirshom la'atzmos ha'tachlis. You should write down what the goal is. V'achas l'reva shol erach, and every 15 minutes, olav lahotzi rishimas os mikisa, should take this note out of his pocket. V'likrobo, and read it. Why? L'man yamad l'neged einov tachliso kol yamav. So his goal is always in front of his eyes, and he never loses focus of that goal. So that's what we already said. So now, Imkain, if so, Ata Shibirano, now that we have clarified, Shetachlis Ha'adam Ba'olamo Hu Kirvas Hashem Utvekas Ba'Hashem, that the purpose of a person in this world is to achieve a state of closeness and cleaving to Hashem. Imkain Al Ha'adam Lirshom Al Gabi Pisas Niyar. Everyone in this room should write down on a piece of paper, Shetachliso Lios Karuv Labore Yisbarach Shemo, that your goal is to be close to Hashem. Velinsos liskorzos kolayom keniskor lael. And a person should attempt to remember this all day long, as we mentioned it before. Okay, so you should now write it down, put it in your screensaver on your computer. You should write down the words, and you could do it in Hebrew. Jeanette can help you. Kirvas Hashem li tov. Closeness to Hashem, that is good for me. And that's your mantra. Put it in your pocket till you can memorize those words. It's not too many words, even if you don't know Hebrew, just like Shema Yisrael. Kirvas Hashem li tov. Closeness Hashem, that is what's good for me. And whenever you have to make a move during the day, should I do this, should I not do this, remember, is this bringing me closer to Hashem, or is this not bringing me closer to Hashem? That's what we got to get ingrained in our heads. Now, he's emphasizing this a lot. So he's going to say, why is this so important? Hayidia hazu, this knowledge, hi yidia shalchius. This is knowledge that gives you purpose, gives you life, gives you excitement in life. Shal etzem achaim, this is the essence of life. V'lo yidias dvar ma ba'alma, it's not just useful information. Not just, okay, you know, okay, it's an important thing to know as a Jew, and from time to time I will refer to this. No, this is your life, and there's nothing more to your life. Nitan mashal adavar. Let's give an analogy to this. Adam oila al gabe eitz. A person is climbing a tree, and he's on a tree. Umisyashev al gabe yechem ne'anofim, and he's perched very comfortably on top of one of the big branches, and he's taking a look at the scenery, enjoying himself. All of a sudden, lefeta, ha'anaf karas v'nafal. He was a little bit too heavy for the branch. The branch breaks and falls, and he's 50 feet up in the air. Next page. Shall H, the person himself, immediately will clutch on to the main part of the tree. He's going to grab onto the tree for dear life. Adam Chosh, the person senses. Sha'alov lahachzik b'chol rega mamish b'guva shalaitz. He has to clutch on every moment literally to the tree. Shim lo kein, because if he doesn't, chas v'sholom, God forbid, hu olo lipol v'lomus, chas v'sholom. God forbid, he's likely to fall if he doesn't keep clinging onto this tree. We all agree to that? Nimtza comes out. Sha'yidia sha'adam yodea shu'tzorach lechus b'eitz. So now, we're going to ask this guy, do you have any knowledge? What's your knowledge telling you right now? My knowledge says, I have a knowledge that I have to hold on to this tree. Right? Now, is that useful information? You know, that he'll think about once a month? No. He ain't any idea about this. That's not just general information. A lot of maven, but the person knows, should be idea zoo, that this knowledge, with this knowledge, his whole life depends on it. Right? Iluhu yishkachas idea. What would happen if he'd forget this for a minute? He forgets that he's got to hold on to the tree. And for a second, he daydreams and thinks of a very beautiful vacation cruise that he took a few months ago. Harehu ba'ofen TV, in a natural way, lo yitchak ba'atzmon lechos beis, he'd forget about holding on to the tree. U'bekachu mesaken chas v'somus kol chayov, and God forbid, he'll endanger his whole life. In other words, when you're clutching onto this tree, what kind of information is this? It's your life. Your life is dependent on you remembering every second that you got to hold on to the tree. Right? If you forget to hold on to the tree, you will die. Right? That's pretty obvious. The fact that you sense it and you're so aware, you're looking 50 feet down, makes it easy to help you to remember. But still in all, the reality is you have to remember. Yes, Sam?
But that is instinctive. It's not something that you learn so much as it is instinctive.
Okay, so Sam is saying this is instinctive. Okay, so now that's a good point you're bringing up. So obviously part of this book is going to have to show how this understanding has to become instinctive. And that's what we're not realizing. We're not realizing what life is. And that's the problem. That's right. Writing it down, having it in front of your face is going to make it instinctive. And much more than that. Much more than that. But that's the first step. That's the first step. And there's many, many more steps that we will see. And that's what the whole point of this book is going to be about. How to make you feel, while you're walking on solid ground, that if you forget about Hashem for a minute, you're dead. Now, obviously, we're not talking about physically dead. We're talking about spiritually dead, which is much more important. And that's a person that has to live with that reality. It's a big, big difference. Okay, so Yud Beis just has the application analogy. So you guys are already two steps ahead of us. Hey, may my dvar medimshal. So this is what we're trying to say in regards to application to real life. A person has to understand that his whole life in this world depends on this. That in front of his eyes must stand before him first this simple knowledge. That the goal of his life is to be close to the creator of the world. That this knowledge, it's not just general information. That his whole life depends on this knowledge. And should he forget this knowledge for a moment, he is putting his whole life in danger. But even before, you need to know the way to cling to your Creator. Those details of the path to know how to achieve this goal. Before we can talk about this, first, it has to be clear in front of his eyes. That your whole life depends on this. That his whole goal is to be close and attached to God. You got to get this idea so clear in your mind before we can begin to give you the details of how to do this. And he's going to really dig into this, but a little bit later, another page or so. Let's go continue. Get the full circle on Yud Gimel. So, like, all three of these kind of all go together over here. We have two verses in one in the Proverbs and one in Deuteronomy. It says in Proverbs, King Solomon said, Eitz Chaim hilamach azikim bo. It's a tree of life for those who grasp it. We say it every time we bring in the Torah. Right? Nikra came. Why is it called it the tree of life? Al shem bechinas ha-pasuk, because of another pasuk. There's another pasuk, which is a little less known, but it's in the book of Deuteronomy. It's in Parshas Vaschanan. V'atem hadvekim b'shem elokeichem chaim kulchem hayom. Moshe is telling the Jewish people, and you see, you guys are attached to God. For you who cling to God, for you who are attached to God, elokeichem, your God, Chaim Kulchem Ayom, you are alive today. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is right in the Torah. This is not just a cute saying that, you know, this is mamish, the word of Hashem. You are clinging to God today. That's why you are alive today. Finished. Straight there in the Torah. Many, many times it says in the Torah to cling to God. Ubotid book, you should cling to Him. So it said many times in Sefer Dvarim. Sefer Dvarim is the last parsha. It's like wrapping up all of Torah. So therefore, now that we know all of Torah, what does it mean? Well, it means you live in Eretz Yisrael, this and that, and all these things. And it also means you cling to God. You feel attached to God. You know, whatever concept you have of the best marriage you could think of a husband and wife, just as two lovebirds, and always thinking of each other, so multiply that 1,000 times more. And that's the relationship you have to have with Hashem. You have to mamish cling to Him. And that's now, if you understand that verse, then you understand what Eitz Chaim Hilamach Azikim Bo means. It's a tree of life to those who cling to it. Because if clinging to Hashem is life, so now, what's the way you're going to cling to Hashem, the initial stage? Eitz Chaim, it's a tree of life. What is that tree of life? You're saying it every time you bring the Torah in. It's the Torah. The Torah is the Eitz Chaim. The Torah is the tree of life. That's what Hashem wanted Adam to take from. Eitz Chaim, tree of life. The real tree of life. Eat the tree of life. You'll live forever. Right? You'll live happily. If you take the Torah and you integrate the Torah and you're machzikit, you clutch onto it, you hold on to the Torah, it's a tree of life. It's mamish. It's a mamish. The analogy. You're on that tree. If you let go of that tree, You're finished. So that's how it fits in. The Torah is the tree of life, and Torah means Torah in its mitzvahs and its lifestyle and how to behave and how to act and the way God shows you how every minute of your day should be spent in the Torah. So if you hold on to that, then you'll fulfill the verse of you are, Moshe said to the Jewish people, you see you guys are clinging to Hashem, and you see how you're alive, and that's what it's all about. He explains. Metzias Achaim, the reality of life, the essence of life is Vatem Hadvekim. It's two parts of the Pasuk. Atem Hadvekim b'Hashem Elokeichem. You are, for you who cling to Hashem, your God, first half of the verse, Chaim Kulchem Hayom. All of you are alive today. Amayim b'chinazu. I'm sorry. Zenikra Chaim. This is called life. Kasher Adam Chas V'Shom Lo Davak B'Kono. What if a person does not cling to Hashem? Al Me'ein Bechin Azu. So what do we call this level? Amr Chazal, our rabbis had a statement. Rishayim, the wicked, Bechayehem Kruy Mesim. Even in their lifetimes, they're called dead. Right? That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Because if you're not, a Rasha doesn't cling to Hashem. So if we have defined life, the Torah has defined life by clinging to Hashem, that is life. So if you're not clinging to Hashem, therefore you are dead. Spiritually, you are dead. There's nothing to your life. Vizos, and this is so, mipnei because, sha'afa pishesh lehem chiyus litzonis, even though the wicked have these external lives, and they have beautiful, 10,000 square feet palace homes, and they've got the fanciest cars, and they've got everything else. All that is chiyus kufanis. All that is physical life. That's all it is. Mikomakom, but still in all, chasal hames ikur chiyus ha'adam. But the main life of the person is missing. She had dveikus v'boris baruch shemo. This is the ability to cling to God. That is what is missing with them. And since this clinging to God is lacking, therefore they are defined as dead people. Dead people. The Pasuk says, again, that you are clinging to Hashem, your God, and you are all alive today. And that's the two clauses. Kasher Yesh, when you've got the first clause of Atem Advekim Hashem Elokeichem, you are all clinging to Hashem your God. Then we have the second aspect, Yesh Asabechina Shalchaim. Then you have that aspect of Chaim Kulchem Hayom. You are all alive today. Vekasher Abechina Shal Vatem Advekim Hashem Elokeichem Einenu Miskayem Eschas V'Shom. And if we're lacking that first clause of, and you are clinging to Hashem, God forbid, the life that you live is not a life. Rabbi Rochum Lavovitz was once a great teacher in Mir. He asked his students, in the middle of a class, he said, take a look outside. Look through the window, look in the street, and tell me what you see. What do you see? Students didn't quite understand what the Rebbe wanted from them. Since when does he have to ask him, what do you see? So he asked one student, no, what do you see? Okay, I see Yosela the tailor. Yosela the tailor, I see Yosela the tailor. He turns to another one. What do you see? I see Moshe the carpenter. He goes around the class looking at that. So Rebbe said, nein, you're wrong. It's not what you're seeing. So Yeruchim, he goes to the window. He looks at Yosela the tailor. And he says, I see the Bialystoker dying. I see the judge, the Jewish judge of the city of Bialystok. And he goes to the other one and he says, I see this one is this kind of tzaddik. And this one I see this kind of tzaddik. And the students are saying, what are you talking about, Rebbe? He's Yosela the tailor. He's not the Jewish judge. He's not the big scholar. So Rebbe says, you don't understand. This is what they should have been. This is what they could have been. If they would have looked into who they really are, it could have been this. And the Rebbe says, as I look outside, I see in front of my eyes, say it in Yiddish, don't say it in English, Ichzeit alei bedika beisakforus. I see a living cemetery. A living cemetery is like mamish, like Halloween. Like you're seeing these the dead coming to life. They're walking around, but they're all dead. They're all dead. They're living physical lives, and they're totally not connected to spirituality at all. In other words, it's nothing wrong, God forbid, with being a tailor, chas v'shalom, right? Unless you could have been more than that. If you could have been more than a tailor, then there's something wrong with being a tailor, right? They're physically alive, but there's no kirves elokim litov. There's no aspect of being close to Hashem that's good for me. When you look in a room and you're seeing people, if you can't see in them, that's not us to judge chas v'shalom, but if the person's walking around, they're busy people, and they look like they're successful, and they're definitely physically alive. Guy goes to the club every day. The woman goes to the club for 5 hours a day to show how alive she is. She's making such an effort to stay alive. And the 60-year-old woman, she looks like a 30-year-old woman. She mamash looks fantastic. So Rabbi Yochanan would say, she's for sure dead. A woman who spends 6 hours in the club, what are you doing with your life? Right? What are you doing with your life? And then 2 hours at the Starbucks to just say Lashon Hara with your friends for another 2 hours. Right? And then come home to watch Chavez, whatever they got, Desperate Housewives, whatever they call it, whatever it is. You know, and they mamash can't miss it. You know, they tell people, you know, well, somebody heard somebody, I forget, somebody was telling me, well, I can go to this thing, you know, but I got to be back in time for the show. You know, I can't miss the show, right? So they're physically alive, but it's a labor that could basic for us. It's a living graveyard. I mean, you know, if you can imagine Rabbi Ruchin would look in Thornhill today, what he'd say? He'd look in Toronto, what he'd say? People, mamish doing mishugana things. My mamish mishugana things. You know, and they're smiling and laughing, and they think they're having a good time, right? But they're dead. Why are they dead? Because you don't see in them that they're living close to God. If a person was living close to God, would they wear clothes that were, you know, uncovering 9/10 of their body? If you're living close to God, right? If you're living close to God, would you watch a television show? You know, with a rare exception. But would you watch like any of these silly sitcoms? If you're close to God, come on, God's right here. Here's the TV. You're sitting out, okay, Hashem, right here next to me. And together we're going to watch somebody take their clothes off and have sex on the TV. Which is every show. It's every show. It's mamish every single, or innuendo to it. Or, you know, okay, Hashem, what do you think? It's a good movie? Yeah? You'd be embarrassed. Where would you take Hashem? Right? You sit down, you talk Lashon Hara about this, Lashon Hara about that. You're wasting your time. Right in front of God. You know, you could tell if you're really next to God, you could tell, even in little things, right? You know, when guys are getting together and they're talking about certain things, and I walk by, all of a sudden they stop talking about it. I mean, I'm very far from being God, okay? But, you know, they're just embarrassed to talk about silly things in front of me, because what's the rabbi going to think? You know, don't worry about what the rabbi's going to think, but isn't Hashem there? So if all your day is you live by pushed away God from you, then, and the only definition of life, as King David is saying, is kirvas Hashem li tov. Being close to me, that's good. You are clinging to Hashem, and that's why you are alive. And if you're not connected to Hashem, you may be physically alive, but you're no different than the Ever-Ready Bunny. He keeps going and going. But he's just a bunny. He's got no neshama. He's got nothing to him. So we just keep running on these batteries. We take pills to keep us going. We drink coffee to keep us going. We're just batteries. We're just moving. We're moving. But we're dead inside. It's like mamish something. And you see it, what's going on in this world. People are so, when they have to confront life, they're miserable. They'll do anything. They'll do anything but sit quietly and think. They'll do anything. Because if they would have to sit quiet and think for 5 minutes, they'd be so depressed that their lives are nothing. Are mamish nothing. If they really would think a little bit. So they're training themselves to not think. As long as I don't think and I keep my schedule busy, I can't think about how depressing life really is because I've accomplished nothing really of real importance in my life. Now people can fool themselves and they drug themselves to believe that they're happy. But the game is up. In the 50s, people were believing this. They were so busy with the new technologies and getting that first car and getting that first TV and then improvising and this and that. But it's reached the saturation point of pleasure that it can give you. And it's hit that point where you can't be happy with it anymore. So now you become really desperate. Now you got to do mishugana things. You can't be happy with a woman anymore. A guy, he has to be with a guy. Let's try that out for a while. Let's try erotic behaviors. Let's try this. Let's try that. Things that you just don't, it's crazy. Because they're so bored with what they have. They've got it all. They've saturated the physical pleasure level that they're not happy with it anymore. And you fight more and more to get the next mishigasan. And then it just gets to the point where it's not worth it anymore. So that's what, and the Ava person goes their whole life and doesn't bother to think for a minute and said, I had a great life. Because all you were was a bunny. That's all you were, with a battery. But you really weren't in touch with the essence of what life is. Okay, Shelley, with the devil's advocate question that we welcome.
So, it's easy when it's extreme. I mean, from your one end of the spectrum to the other end. I would say it's more level of not dead or alive, but meaningful life or not.
Well, that is the definition of life. If your life has no meaning, then you're dead. You didn't accomplish what you were here for. Again,
I can agree with that. Okay.
The world here focuses, the definition of life and death in this secular world is only a physical one. You hear that definition so often, you can't hear another definition. Because in the news, you hear it all day long. How many are dead? Dead or alive? Bring them in, dead or alive, right? Either dead or alive. I'm breathing, I'm alive. And then they talk, even if they talk about quality of life. Quality of life means I'm alive and I can have fun in life. So Judaism says you're exactly right. Quality of life should not be limited to the doctor's definition or to any psychologist's definition, but by a Torah definition. Quality of life is being attached to Hashem. That's a quality of life. And if you don't have that quality, why does, you have a doctor, right? And they go to, you have aged parents and they're sick in the hospital, right? And they're barely hanging on. The doctor comes over to you and he says, listen, I want you to know, we could keep your mother alive for another 3 months, but what kind of quality of life would it be? Right? We're going to have to put a tracheotomy into her and she's going to have to breathe through that thing. And what kind of life is that? So now, obviously, why would the Torah argue with him, right? If you go to the rabbi says you put the tracheotomy in, even if she's going to live like that and suffer for 3 months, you do it. The doctor says no. Why? Because they have a different definition of quality of life. The doctor only sees things in the physical, cannot get the spiritual concept in his mind. There is no God in the doctor's mind, right? Quality of life means not just to be alive. Everybody knows it's not just to be breathing. Everybody knows that. It means to be breathing and to have fun. To enjoy it by a secular definition. Enjoyment means that I can eat like a regular person and laugh like a regular person and talk like a regular person. And that is a quality of life. While the Jew could say you don't need any of that for a quality of life. As long as that person on the ventilator, with the tracheotomy, can feel that he's close to Hashem, which you can at that point, then you have the greatest quality of life possible because you are connected to God and it's worth it to do it for 3 more months. 3 more months to live feeling close to Hashem. You don't have to be in an amusement park to have a quality of life. That's for sure not a quality of life, right? But if you, even if all you can do is breathe, and that's all you can do, and you're being fed with a tube, but every moment you're saying, Hashem, I love you. You're close to, I'm close to you. I appreciate every breath of life that you give me. And you're saying, how could you appreciate such a breath of life? Because you don't know what life means. We're not getting it. Life means to live with that reality that Hashem is close to you and sustaining you every minute. That's the quality of life that we have. We can't get that definition because society has brainwashed us, mamish, to not understand. If there's no Hashem, then there's no point of having a quality. There's no quality. If I can't enjoy the physical pleasures of life, says the doctor, then there's no point in being alive. There's no point in being alive. Well, Judaism says, if I can't enjoy being close to Hashem, then we've wasted the life that God has given us. And that changes all your definitions if you understand why being alive is all about. If you're alive, and even with the trach, and your son comes to you Friday night, and he makes kiddush, and you hear it, and you think to say, amen, that's another mitzvah. And it's not just hearing kiddush. But what does kiddush mean? That God's the creator of the world. And every moment we're alive, and we think of it, we support that concept. It brings kiddush Hashem into the world. That can happen at any time. That can happen at any time. That's quality of life. We're so ingrained that it can't be a good life unless I'm smiling and happy. And if I'm not smiling and happy and making money and eating fancy foods and doing what I want to do, then that's not a life. In a secular world where people are already dead, you're right. But in a Torah world, life is about, do I feel close to God? Do I feel close to God?
So what about, don't take the extremes, take somewhere in the middle ground where people are, you know, say, David, learn Torah, David, I go home and I watch the World Series tonight. So am I not close to God because I'm watching the World Series? Or for that 3 hours?
Let's put it this way. If when you were what does it mean to say? What that really is saying, and he's going to talk about this. We're going to talk about it probably tomorrow or the next day. It means when you were davening, you weren't close to Hashem. Because if you were close to Hashem when you davened, the last thing you'd want to do is watch the World Series. If you understood what it meant to be close to Hashem and you enjoyed it, it's like I'll tell you what it's like. Okay, I'm going to use an example. Right, a man's in bed with his wife, enjoying what's going on in the bed. It's 4 o'clock here. I have to watch the World Series.
No, I'm talking 12 hours late.
No, it doesn't. What if it's a romantic vacation and you can be in bed all night long? All day long. You're only with her.
Single guy.
Okay, you're only with her. You're walking on the beach with her. You've got the whole day with her. And you say, I want to watch the World Series. That's not a good sign. If that World Series can be appealing to you versus being with your wife, just being with your wife, forget about it. Then there's something wrong with your relationship with your wife. For sure there's something wrong with it.
So if you're doing anything other than learning Torah and davening,
you can do a lot of things with Hashem. The question is, here's the point. Can you bring Hashem to the World Series with you? That's the question. Would you say, Hashem, I love you? Right? Come on, have a seat. We'll watch the World Series together. I can't believe you could think that could be a reality. We're going to watch this Schwarzer hit the ball and this guy tackle him and this. This is what you're here for? If you really sense that, would you really be doing that? This is what life is. This is my Olam Haba. You know, it's not. If you understood the pleasure of being with Hashem. Now, doesn't mean you can be with Hashem, like we said earlier, you could be Hashem at Fujitsu. You could take Hashem with you to Fujitsu. Because Hashem says, I want you to make a living. I want you to make a living. I want you to, you have children in day school. How are you going to pay for it? Go to work. He wants you to go to work. And you take him with you to work. That's, you do that. Yeah, that's not Kirvas. That's Kirvas Elokim. Because they see you with a kippah now at work, right? So, are you close to Hashem? You're showing everybody how close to Hashem. You brought your kippah into the workplace. You've made that workplace a little bit of a different place. A little holier place. When you talk, you're not saying the dirty jokes like everybody in the office is saying the dirty jokes. You're not even listening to the dirty jokes, right? When you talk, you know, they know, listen, they know he's the Jew, he's honest. He's not going to try. He's not going to knife us in the back. Shelly is not the kind of guy who's going to try to walk off with money. When he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it because these Jews, they don't lie. So what did you, your mom is taking Hashem into the office. Even though it's, I don't know what you do. You're doing spreadsheets and this, that, which would seem to be far away from, but you're with Hashem because, you know, I have to make an honest dollar. I can't, you don't in the middle of the day, you know, start surfing the internet while you're working because, you know, that wouldn't be honest. Because you have Hashem at Fujitsu, and that's fine, and that's good. And when you're eating breakfast, you have Hashem when you're eating breakfast. And when you're going with your wife on a romantic stroll on the beach, it's with Hashem also. And Hashem, I'm so happy that you gave me a concept of marriage and that I can love my wife, and the love that I have for her just gives me an idea of what the love that I should have for you is. And you take Hashem with you all around. And you can take him to all these places. You could take him to the gym with you. I want to be strong. If it's only for a short while, an hour, whatever, not for 6 hours, right? But I'm going on the treadmill, you know, for an hour, and I'm with you because you want me to be alive, and I want you to be happy, and I want it to be this way. That's all good and fine. You could do so many things with Hashem, but certain things you got to think: is this really to take Hashem to these places? That already, I mean, that's the point where you're killing yourself. For the 3 hours watching the World Series, you're killing yourself. Okay, I'm not saying it's an easy transition. If you've been used to watching the World Series all your life, to give this away. But listen, there's a lot of things that we slowly have to get rid of to appreciate this relationship with Hashem. So again, and that's, I keep repeating what he said in the last class. You don't have to be the Chafetz Chaim to live this way. There were quote-unquote simple tailors who did live this way. What should give you pleasure? In those olden days, what did they do for enjoyment? What did they do 200 years ago? What did a Jew do to have fun? First, again, there's no such word as fun. Fun, there's no word fun. Fun is foolish. What did they do to have simcha? What did they do to feel close to Hashem? If you feel close to Hashem, it automatically makes you happy. Now, you may not understand that. You may not even feel that, but that's the emes. That's what the book has to teach you. How is this feeling close to Hashem making you happy, Shelley? Right? So what would a Yid do 200 years ago? Well, what did a Goy do? What did a Goy do? They went to the bar and got drunk and killed Jews. Right? To have a good time. Well, whatever they did, or whatever sport they had. If you were wealthy enough, you could sport. You could try to catch what, the dog, the fox. Right? What did they do? All was to keep themselves busy. Right? What does a Goy do today to be happy? They go hunting. Catch myself a buck. Ooh, this is a 12-point buck. Whoa, boy, that's a beauty. That's a beauty. You know? That's what a Goy does. You know, and they're tied up bucks. They go after Jews. That's all. You know? So that's what they do, right? So what did a Yid do? What did a Yid do to entertain himself? There were no amusement parks. There's no World Series. Do you think Jews were unhappy all their lives? You know what they did? They took out a Tehillim, and they selfishly enjoyed saying Tehillim, because they understood what they were reading. And they were mamish saying beautiful words, feeling close to Hashem, and they mamish loved it. They mamish loved it. They would daven a little longer. They mamish loved that. They would try to do a mitzvah. Help somebody out. They mamish loved it. That's this Kirvas Elohim Litov. They understood this idea of being close to Hashem. That is the greatest pleasure I could have. And they lived that way. And every free moment was, how can I, you know, when I'm working, it's a little harder to feel closer to Hashem. But when I'm not working, now I don't have to bother making shoes. I can just mamish, be selfish. I can just mamish, read Tehillim and just enjoy. Learn Gemara. That is the pleasure. That is the pleasure. But since, Shelley, I'm no different than you. From being a little kid, all I saw was the television telling me how to be happy. For years and years and years and years. So I believed it. And I still, unfortunately, have visions of and yearnings for it. It's hard to get something that you had for so many years as a kid out of your mind. But all it was lies. Can you imagine if a kid would, imagine, Shelley, if a kid when he grew up, it was mamish kosher television. What can you watch? Tehillim. And it's all they say. Oh, we'd like to advertise the latest Masechta, hot off the presses, with all the new features, with the commentary of, oh, wow, commentary of Rashi. Oh, I got to get this one. And the picture guy banging down the door. Oh, I ran out of my Gemara's. Oh, and he's crying. Can you imagine? You saw it when you were 3 years old? Well, that's what it's like in B'nai Brak. And the kids are happy. These kids in B'nai Brak, they are happy. It's not that they don't know any difference. They know the emet. They know the emes. They don't need to choose. They don't need to choose. You don't have to put a person in such a situation to choose.
If you choose, then you're making a cognizant effort to go this route versus that. Which means if you're going this route with Hashem, you're closer because you're actively.
Okay, so you're getting back into that Rambam class that we had the last Rambam class. Malkam Shabbal Tshuva Omeid, the same idea. But that's clear. Okay, there were a couple other hands. We still got another minute.
Just the question: we're incorporated. We told that the Jews were incorporated in the physical world in a spiritual way.
That's right.
So to Shelley's point, I mean, yes, we're in a multicultural society. We have to choose to do the right things.
Right. So.
Other things, as in Lashon Hara, that perhaps are not good, but they can't be considered bad. In Shelley's example, it's not the best use of time. But
it's a waste of time. Not the best use. It's a waste of time. It's taking 3 hours of your life and flushing it down the toilet.
But every so often,
every so often you do something that's purposeful. You don't, life is not, it's too precious to every so often flush it down the toilet. Let me go to your bank account, Ian, and once in a while, let me go to your, get your card, your green card. I'll go in, take $600 and throw it out. Every once in a while. You don't understand. Your life is more important than $600. Would you let me go once to your green machine and take $600 and throw it out? Once, would you? You'd fight, you'd scream, you'd yell. All you need is a Nourish a commercial to say, you have to see this. You have to see this. And it's taking 3 hours of your life and flushing it down the toilet. You don't see that. That's the problem. Because you've been brainwashed to think that we have to be exposed to every Nourishkeit in the world. If somebody makes me laugh, that's fun and that's life. That's not. Just because you've been exposed to it so long and you've been convinced that it's so, doesn't mean it's so. And just they've convinced you and say, if you don't go to Marineland, you don't have happiness. But guess what? You could, believe it or not, be happier than being in Marineland. And I don't understand how anyone in their right mind could want to go to that adventure park, what's the amusement park? Wonderland, and say they have a good time. You wait 1 hour in the sun to go on a 20-second ride, and you're going to tell me that's a good time? You got to be out of your mind. Out of your mind. So I can go floop to loop to loop and have think for a second I'm going to die and I'm alive. Oh, I had a great time. You know, people are crazy. Their mom is crazy to think that that's called a good time. Because people have convinced you, that's all. They've convinced you have to relax. Hashem says, you can relax. You can relax. Why don't you relax with your wife and go for a walk and talk to her? Try it. Ah, that's boring. You know what? Then you don't really know what life is. No, no, no. If, you know, that's a Nourishkeit. They've only taught you to say that's important. It's a Nourishkeit. If you could have a, let me, and you know it's a Nourishkeit. You know it's a Nourishkeit, but you can't give it up. That's all it is. That's all it is. And the biggest proof is you always say, if you had 3 hours left to live, would you rather live it with your wife in bed or watching the World Series? Okay? And that will define what your time is really worth. It is. So we got it. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. We've been polluted to understand it. But again, I don't want you to get this message. Here's the point. He's going to talk about tomorrow. The point is, being with Hashem is not that attractive to all of you. That's the problem. That's the problem. God's got a bad PR agent. And he hasn't been able to sell you on the concept of Kirvas Elohim Li Tov. If you really understood that being close to Hashem is the greatest thing you could have, if you really knew it, you would never be tempted by a World Series. The fact that you're tempted, it only means one thing. You don't believe that being close to Hashem is worth much. I do it out of guilt. I do it because I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew because a rabbi is making me feel so guilty that I don't go to davening. But it's not because the truth, and that's what the Rebbe's going to say. I'm not saying it. The Rebbe's going to say it here. That you really don't believe it. See, that's what he's trying to bring hold. Do you really believe that being close to Hashem is good or not? If all you guys are saying, but what's wrong with the seventh game of the World Series, means you don't believe it. And that's good, because you know what? Now at least you're honest, and you're not fooling yourself like the other 99% of Orthodox Jews who are fooling themselves, and they think they're religious. So that's what this book's all about, to show you how Kirvas Elohim is the most enjoyable thing in life. And if you know, this book will have gotten through to you, is when you can live without the seventh game of the World Series. Then you'll know the book accomplishes goal. Mirtz Hashem, we got a lot of work to do. Mirtz Hashem.